Outdated automation doesn't have to slow you down. Graybar helps you identify risks, modernize strategically, and minimize disruption every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Gear from MLBShop.com helps you show everyone what team you're with before you even say a word. So people start asking you things locals and fans know, like,
you with the crew?
You from the D?
Where'd you go to high school?
Your dad put you in brown and gold.
You see skins, girl?
You get your Dodger dog?
Siempre 305.
You see Big Dumper 60?
Do you see him put Vladdy in the jacket?
How about 47?
You see Judges 62?
Shohei's 50-50.
The gear says it all.
Cut from the city. Go to MLBShop.com.
MLB trademarks used with permission.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is Bird Request Part 2.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys, Dirt and Sprague.
First we get the bard out.
Andy Dirt Johnson.
That's the American Woodcock.
Brandon Sprague.
Then the American Crow.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Keep up the request, guys.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three. Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody.
Yeah, what's up, guys? How are y'all doing?
Excited. Lots to get to in hour number three of the radio program. We got to make our official, finalized, until we flip it or stick it, season NFL picks today.
Yeah. Can I... Oh, man. What? I don't want to ruin your segment. We've got one of the greatest quotes from a football game that happened last year that we just found out about.
Ooh.
Are you ready?
A year later quote.
You may not like this.
Oh, uh-oh.
So there is a new writer at USA Today. By the way, did we hear from Matt Hayes?
Did he get back to us?
Weirdly,
is he
going
to come on
reacting.
The station and defend his stance?
Crickets.
Yeah. What?
Oh, shocking.
Oregon's eliminated and can't be trusted, but I'm not going to respond to any interview requests out in Oregon.
I appreciate the fodder, Matt. We love it. I'm going to put that one in my bookmark.
So there's a new writer at USA Today Sports, and his first look is Indiana football.
Mm.
And you know when what he does is he goes back to Indiana at Oregon.
Yeah, the game, the regular season game.
They're in the locker room. The game is about to kick off. They're about to come out the tunnel.
Pre-game speech.
A player asks, Coach, aren't we going to pray? Cignetti looks at his watch, turns, and realizes it's too late.
Yeah, no time for a prayer.
He responds to the player, F it, pray for Oregon. And then they ran out to go out the tunnel.
That's a hell of a line right there. That's a hell of a line.
If he put that in a production of video.
Pray for them, not pray for
Oregon.
Us. Yeah.
Coach, we go pray? Pray for Oregon. Let's go.
That'd be actually a pretty funny idea, like from a marketing standpoint, to make that shirt in red and white Indiana colors every home game.
Pray.
Whoever comes to town,
line.
Pray for USC.
Just a line.
Pray for Oregon. Pray for Ohio State, you know, whoever you're playing that week, and sell that shirt.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. Are the religious people going to get upset with him over that?
I don't.
Or are we going to let that one go?
Guess what? I don't think he cares.
No, he definitely doesn't care. He absolutely doesn't. We'll get to our NFL picks here in a little bit. We got some lingering storylines for the National Football League we haven't talked about yet. We'll obviously get more into the game tonight in the final hour of the show. We got Seattle. We got New England coming up tonight. Where is our exhaustion level, and will these topics go away anytime soon on the double whammy yesterday of LSU backing down against the SEC?
Yeah, the players won't be on the team.
They're not on the team. Now, will they still get voted out of the conference? Probably not. But that's on the table, I believe, for tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then the topic of playoff expansion being back at the forefront after yesterday.
Well, the LSU-SEC development isn't really surprising. I think it's pretty easy for the conference to come together with Sankey and you know, I thought LSU kind of got the message before the Clemson game, and they just didn't want to say that out loud of like, all right, they're not going to play.
I can't remember. Was it Connolly who made somebody made the argument of like basically the new rules that we're following or the way to enforce things is bullying. Like, Texas Tech got this in the Big 12. Everybody in the Big 12 was like, we're not going to play you. We refuse to play
what
you.
What do you argue? That's how American society is run
well,
right
sure,
now?
Well, sure, but I'm just saying, like, bullying? No doubt about it. I'm just saying from a sports standpoint, like, there's no way to enforce any
there's
rules.
No rules.
There's no rules in place to keep anybody from doing And this
well,
is their way
say,
to do it of, like, we're literally not going to play you if you do this. Texas Tech backed down, and now the SEC said, we're going to vote to kick you out of the conference.
Yeah.
And LSU's like, all right, fine, we won't do it.
The NCAA came out and said, we have a new rule on the clock situation. And everybody laughs because it's the NCAA, but it's like,
yeah. What's the new rule on the clock situation?
Yeah, I think it's the
that
whole
there's not
have
an
to
official
use the TV clock.
You have
and,
I don't know.
All right. They tried to make a rule yesterday.
Well, I
and
think
I'm like,
that's maybe why the SEC might continue this lawsuit, even if LSU's now said we're not putting these players
what
on.
Do you start, what are you having a lawsuit for? If they're complying with what you don't want, then what are you filing a lawsuit for?
Well, no, it's about the fact that they are a membership-based organization, and they can create their own rules, and those own rules cannot be challenged by state courts.
But
they're
not
hoping a federal ruling would set legal precedent so they have something on the books.
But
so
they're
wouldn't
not have to breaking go back the rule.
To. But it would be about a future thing, to Swag's point. Of
right, but you just made the point. Why are they not having the guys on their roster?
But there's still nothing of legal.
Did bullying stop that?
Yeah.
Well, a federal legal
is that going to go
judgment.
Their way? What evidence do you have that's going to go the conference's way and not the institution's way?
The tough part is with a lot of these case by case basis, it's on a state and local level,
and this
and
is
so,
a federal
and they're
case,
doing something
and a
federal
decision will
trump the,
a local state.
Cool. Yeah. Until we find out that another lawsuit can somehow exist and trump that ruling. Also, what program would do this? Lane Kiffin's the only one in that conference you would probably pick to
Again,
do this.
Again, it's not about that specific thing. It's about getting a federal ruling.
They're not
going to
do it. The only thing they need to hope for is that Save, Protect, College Act thing. That's what they want.
Well, that's what they
that's
want.
Long,
that's where
that's
it's all going.
Picture.
And maybe
that's
continuing
the
lawsuit forces their hand to do that. If they continue going with the lawsuit, it is to force the hand of either the judicial system or the legislative system at the federal level to put something on the books that allows them to do what they want to do.
I see the point that Swag's making of it's not about this the specific idea of NFL guys coming back. It's more about saying we are going to have a federal regulation or law that says you cannot break conference rules. And if you do, we have the authority to do X, Y, and Z in the future.
I get what he's saying. Yeah. I just don't see the point of it.
I do because I think you have these rogue actors now. And I don't know, like the idea of the Save College Sports Act is certainly the best pathway probably for it at this point. But what are the chances that that actually passes?
I don't even know if it's going to come to a vote.
Congress,
that's the problem.
That's the
Congress
tough part.
Is doing
like,
their job. In
they don't
general,
do anything, right? And so it's like there's, you know.
Well, we're about to have, you know, full on midterm election.
Yeah, it's election
push.
Season.
I'm sure
man.
Those will go great.
Yeah, the ads are everywhere. Here is Pete Thamel on the idea of the vote, which I believe is still on the table for tomorrow from the SEC.
In the lawsuit, the SEC states that LSU's actions, quote, confirm the lack of institutional control over the athletics program at LSU. From talking to sources on both sides today, really what the SEC's tenor in this is that between Lane Kiffin and Will Wade and a lack of essential leadership, they think there's a leadership void there. Again, lack of institutional control is in the filing. Those phrases don't get thrown around very often. So pushing forward now, we have a new showdown, if you will, Harry. Mm-hmm. We have the SEC presidents and chancellors scheduled to meet on Thursday. And in that meeting, Harry, they will decide if it gets to that point, if they don't see some contrition from LSU, if they don't see if their fidelity to not playing pros, which has been the core of this issue, is not made more clear, there will be a vote amongst the SEC presidents and chancellors about the possible expelling of LSU from the Southeastern Conference.
It just, you know, it's we finally got football back. It was a rather compelling week one, right? Not a great slate, but you get the Western Michigan game, you get the Oregon Boise game, you get the Ole Miss Louisville game, and it's like here we are on Wednesday going into week two where we finally get a really good slate this week. Texas Ohio State's on Saturday night. Right, that's your big primetime game. All the pressure on Sark down in Austin. It's going to be a great night game down there. And here's kind of the talking point. So there's a frustration there for me. I'll be curious to just kind of track it. LSU did back down. They're not adding the pro players to their roster. I don't know if that'll make the conference back down or not. Time will tell on that, as in tomorrow.
That's the only reason I'm pushing back on what he's saying. I get why they would do it and what he's saying. One, where would the confidence be that that would be the federal ruling, that it'd go their way?
You got to have a judge at a federal level that agrees with you.
Right. So, like, I think there's already that question that's in the air, and they've already backed down. Again, I will ask you, in the conference, as the bullying clearly worked,
yeah,
what coach would do this other than Lane Kiffin in that conference?
Yeah, it's hard to think of anybody else that would do this thing, this one thing. And it's also a rare, I mean, to be fair to the player side of this, it was a ruling that came down after the guys left for the NFL.
Oh, I know.
Right, and so that was the whole catch-22 of it. Of
I actually
like, well,
feel bad for the players.
They got caught in the crosshairs here, and it wasn't their fault to a certain extent. And some people would even argue behind the scenes they were getting persuaded to come back to college by the colleges that were offering to pay them money. And one guy even went to his NFL team and said, get me out of here so I can go make some more money in college. And now that platform doesn't exist for them. It's just like, can we just talk about football, man? On that front, let's get this one out of the way. We have now opened a 30-day negotiating window, Brandon Sprague. Is your window open this morning? Have you opened your windows? We have a window.
Actually, I do. I don't have an AC right now.
You got to get that cool air in there in the morning. It's actually pretty smart.
Yeah.
We have a 30-day negotiating window with ESPN that's been opened via the college football playoff.
Yep.
In a push to expand the playoff. They have 30 days to come to a conclusion on this. I think there's a deadline of December in order to get it done by next year's
playoff.
Yeah, I think
December 1st.
For those wondering, how would this look? There would be no automatic qualifiers. Mm-hmm. They would be gone. It would consist of the 23 best teams and one spot guaranteed for the group of six.
What conferences most of those teams will reside from?
I wonder who it could be. The top eight teams would receive a bye. Mm-hmm. There would be eight first round games played on campus, followed by another week of home campus games. So everybody in the playoff that's a upper seed would get a home college football playoff game. The season would begin in week zero. You would eliminate conference championship games, and the college football playoff would start the first week of December. It does feel like there's actual momentum to this. The big catch is that they got to find a way to make up the $250 million in expected revenue that they would lose by canceling the conference championship games. I don't think that's going to be an issue. I hope they open it up to the other networks. But here we are again. It seems like the push for 24 is real, and it's going to happen this time.
I also love that ESPN declined comment on this story.
On an ESPN story about the ESPN college football playoff written by Heather Dinich.
I don't know what the dollar amount would be, but something would tell me that, what did you say, $250
million? The conference championship games are estimated to be given about $250 million, so they got to find a way
to
replace
that. Do you want to watch BYU and ASU, or do you want to watch a playoff game? Like, that's what the advertisers would be coming with. So I think you'd be able to make that up.
And the ESPN has first right of refusal in order to match whatever kind of negotiations happen. My biggest hope in all of this is that you get every network involved with the playoff. I think that's one of the biggest missing ingredients in college football right now, where you just don't, like, Fox has no point of pubbing the college football playoff. And neither does NBC, neither does CBS, because they don't broadcast it. They don't have the rights to it, right? And so just having it be spread out, I think, would be certainly nice. Are you interested or curious in the games that we would have gotten in the first round of the playoffs last year?
Yes, and weirdly no, because okay, all those teams are so different. I'm more curious about how the scheduling is going to be impacted here.
Yeah, that's a huge question out of all of this. And one, you know, there's unintended consequences of anything. When we went to 12, I think one of the biggest unintended consequences was we thought it would be a push to schedule harder non-conference games. Hey, you have the ability to lose a game and make up for it, and we've seen kind of the opposite.
Yep.
Teams canceling games, Texas bitching all year about having to play Ohio State. Why did we play them? We should have played Eastern Directional Community College. And it, you know, it's led to this kind of dumb race to the bottom. Let's make it easy as humanly possible. So that's been an unintended consequence. One thing that will come with this is the mandate to play 10 Power 4 conference games. And I will tell you now, one thing that will go away, if that is the new mandate in the sport, you have to play 10 Power 4 games in order to get there from a power conference, the Civil War in the Apple Cup will be gone. They won't play it anymore.
Well, I mean, we just...
And some would argue you shouldn't play it anymore.
We just talked with Ian. What did you take away from him? Because I would argue it sounds like somebody that's observed it not dying and thinks it's dead. And over here, we've lost it and brought it back, and I would argue it's always been dead since that conference died.
Yeah, it's tough in that case because it's weird. Washington State just beat them 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. They hung with them for at least the first half last year, if not into the third quarter a little bit before the Huskies pulled away. This year it was 10-7 in the fourth quarter. So they've been, like, weirdly competitive in the game with three different head coaches, mind you, in the last three seasons, and Jed Fish has been a part of all of those. So that's kind of the unique thing. It just, from a scheduling standpoint, you can't get away with it because you're going to have to schedule a home and home with a Power 4 conference opponent. And in the years where an Apple Cup or a Civil War, they're going to want home games in return for that. And you just don't have the inventory left to go play a road non-conference game against a non-Power 4 team.
So what do the G6s do in this scenario then? They have to like schedule, you almost have to kind of get out of conference stuff.
You're going to lose the ability probably to schedule home non-conference games against power opponents. That's what's going to probably be lost.
Sure, and
you can still go on the road and go play it.
Right.
The point of the Civil War and Apple Cup is Oregon State's not going to sign up for a Civil War that's in Eugene every year. That they're not going to do that. Neither would Washington State. And I don't blame you. You shouldn't do that. But the idea of them returning is where it gets challenging with the new ruling and only three non-conference games every single season.
I guess that's what I'm curious about is if they lose the power game, all of these teams, Oregon with Boise or Oregon State, why would you, do you just stay in your own conference and somebody has to decide Memphis was better than Boise if they don't play?
Right.
Or do you start crossing over into conferences to play each other to sort out, because that one group of six representatives.
So your non-conference would be, you go schedule like Tulane, you schedule Memphis, and you schedule UNLV.
Sure.
Right, from different, you know.
What do you do in the off chance San Diego State goes undefeated because they didn't play any of the upper end G6 schools, and they win their conference? I don't know what you do with that.
Good luck figuring all this out. It does seem like it's going to happen. I mean, this is the clearest trend we've seen. They got to open the negotiating window. Here are your on-campus games in the first round last year. Would have been James Madison on the road at Alabama, which, whatever, Iowa on the road at Miami. That just would have been a fun one to view on TV. Georgia Tech would have been on the road at Notre Dame. Houston at BYU. Tulane at Texas. Virginia at Vanderbilt.
I don't think you've named one game right now that I've been excited about.
Michigan at Utah. Knowing what we know about coaches, that's Whittingham funny. Bowl. But that was before. This would have been before the coaching thing. And Arizona on the road at USC.
Yeah,
those would have been your first round games. The part of it that I do like, we can certainly argue how many compelling games we'll get in the first round of the playoffs. That's totally.
Well, we're
fair.
Not going to have great games. That's just overall.
No, there's blowouts in the 12 team field. There's going to be blowouts in the 24 team field, right? I do like the idea of expanding access. I've had my questions about what does it do to the regular season. I don't have these grandiose fears that we won't care anymore, and I think you've largely been right in that argument. The two things that I think we're missing right now most of the sport are, one, more compelling early season games. Will it lead to that? I don't know. I can't guarantee that because I would have argued 12 was going to do it. If 24 doesn't do it, we're dealing with a bunch of cowards out here. And then the idea of the lack of momentum you get going into your playoffs. The NFL has this huge crescendo, and we can argue about week 18 and whether we should play that week or not. It's kind of dumb. Some guys don't play, all that. It's a hard week to gamble. But then what happens literally the next week? You jump into the wild card round, and wild card round's awesome.
Yep.
And there's games Saturday, there's games Sunday, there's games Monday. It's all weekend football. And here in the college level, you get through the conference championships, then it's Army-Navy. Then it's another week off, and then, okay, let's go play our bowl games, and the teams who are rewarded with their buys then sit around. Indiana, to this point, through multiple years, is the only one that's been able to win off of a bye. Everybody else has lost their first playoff game, and so I like the idea of starting in week zero, starting the playoff quicker, and then the other thing that sucks is that you work all year. You should be rewarded with a home playoff game.
Oh, I agree with that.
And that, to me, would be the biggest thing that I love about this model is even the top eight who get a bye, which last year would have been Indiana, Ohio State, Georgia, Texas Tech, Oregon, Ole Miss, A&M, and Oklahoma, all would have gotten a first-round playoff game.
But I also think, even though I think this is inevitable, I think this is ultimately going to not be a great thing. I think you're eliminating a lot of fan bases out of contention. I think you're pseudo-eliminating a lot of the third bottom half of almost all the conferences that are in the power conferences. I mean, you could argue they're already there now.
Yeah.
And you're doing it for the sake of money. You're not doing it because, Georgia Tech could have actually got to the semis last year.
No.
You just rattled off what all the games would have been. I'd imagine they're going to be very similar. You know, a couple teams here or there, but like largely similar.
Right.
Those aren't going to be good games. You may get an occasional upset, an occasional, this team not as dominant against that team as we thought. But I have an opinion that I've always thought this is where it was going. Getting on board for more playoff games is exciting in a way, but also you're eliminating so many more fan bases out of really needing to care about the sport. And part of what's made the sport so great and special is what? You have all the pageantry. And like, I find it funny when I watch some of these ESPN games. I think it was Georgia Tech and Colorado. And Georgia Tech's not like a powerhouse or a blue blood, but they're showing the crowd shots. And they're like,
it's a great atmosphere.
Isn't
man.
This great? And I'm like, you're selling me a version of college football that's not real anymore. And you're pretending it is, but it's not. Virginia Tech with James Franklin's debut looked awesome that open, right? He's coming out to enter Sandman. Crowd's full. It's going crazy. You're never doing anything of note. And you're going to constantly be disappointed by losing in the first round. Let's fire this guy because we can't win the first round. Cool, the next guy gets you to the second round. And then you're never going to win that game because you don't have the resources and the Jimmys and the Joes. And so I think in a weird way, like, it's inevitable, but they've lost the plot so much, and they've lost the plot with other things, but
right.
You just taking it a step further of like, yeah, you don't know who you are anymore.
It's interesting. I'm curious how people are, where people are at on this, because it is, I mean, it's a massive fundamental change of the sport in the way that we view the sport. Some people would argue we're already there, obviously, for differing reasons. I do think this is going to happen, and so do we like it? Is it something we're going to be against? Will we be interested in playoff games? Let's talk a little bit more about that. Start diving back into the NFL. We got to make our official picks. We got the kickoff game tonight between Seattle and New England. Back after this, 105.1 FM The Fam.
Aging control systems can increase downtime and risk. Graybar helps you plan the right automation upgrades to improve reliability and prepare for what's next. Yep, Graybar does that.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bearers a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search the Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
All right, welcome back in. Our official NFL picks. Got mine ready to go. My new playoff teams.
I have four.
You have four new playoff teams. Do you feel good or bad about that?
It makes me feel terrible.
Does it?
Yeah.
Maybe this is the year that it's only four. You never know. Could be the year.
Four seems a bit of a mistake. I have to tweak this.
You got time. You got time. We'll do them at the top of the hour, 9 o'clock, NFL picks.
All right.
Right around the corner.
Okay.
A lot of thoughts coming in. You put up a poll question during the break. It does appear that the college football playoff will be expanded to 24. Nothing's guaranteed now, but they've opened their negotiating window with ESPN. The SEC was the last holdout here. It was a Big Ten versus SEC thing, and now it seems like they're all on board. Would a 24-team college football playoff make you care less about college football? Yes or no? Simple to the point. You can go vote at Dirt and Sprague, and we will update the responses at the end of the show. Wanted to read a couple thoughts here. And then continue on it just to hear. When RP1 says, I think you get more upsets in the first round, which will make the second round crap, teams 9 through 24, much more likely to upset the higher seeds and then go play the big boys. Another one, note to Oregon fans, if the CFP starts requiring 10 games against autonomy conference teams, that would leave Oregon ineligible the next three seasons and make the Civil War and Apple Cup very hard to continue
to
play.
They would cancel them.
Yeah, that's the point I was bringing up in the last segment. If this ruling goes through, a lot of teams are going to have to work through their Indiana's one of them, Oregon's one. Like, you're going to have to work through your non-conference scheduling and come up with somebody.
There's buyout clauses in those. They'll cut them a check for $200,000.
And as we've learned a million times in college football, you can schedule the game and play it in a week if you need to. You'll be all right. So you can come up with a way to do the scheduling. The unique thing is, and I guess this is where I certainly understand the arguments all over the map on this. Do I want 24? Like, if I were designing, like, hey, Dirk, come up with the perfect playoff format. This is not it in any way, shape, or form. It's not what I prefer sticking at 12, getting rid of conference championship games and having play-in games for the playoffs.
Yeah, I'd make an argument with you. I think if you eliminated the bye and did home games for everybody, I think it's kind of perfect. Now,
yeah, 12's a fine number for me.
You could tweak it. I wish we'd have 5 power conferences again. I'm a little biased in saying that, but
sure.
I also don't think any of this really makes sense.
No.
I'd also love everybody to be on the same playing field. Indiana playing patsies for 3 weeks and then getting into the Big Ten play, whereas other programs around the country at least have one challenging game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fan of that. I don't blame Cignetti either. He's taking advantage of the system.
Yes.
I think 12 is perfect. I just think you could tweak it to make it even better, but I think overall it's perfect.
It's interesting, though, because in the argument, and I see where you're coming from, a couple of points on it. One, would the group of six rather have access to the college football playoff or their own playoff? It's a big question that exists in the sport right now.
Well, it's probably tied to money, so I'd probably think it'd be the college football playoff, right?
Like,
right?
If as an Oregon State fan, would it mean more to Oregon State fan if they go to the college football playoff or if they won the group of six championship?
Well, it'd be interesting to say one opinion and then see it play out and feel differently.
I'm sure the fan base would be all over the map on that, right? Like some people might be on this side and some people might be on the other side.
Like Herbert's last game as a Duck is in a Rose Bowl and it's memorable, but I had the opinion in the moment, like you'd rather get steamrolled in the four-team playoff.
Rather make the college football playoff.
And some Duck fans disagree with that, and I don't blame them for disagreeing with the take. It just overall, we as a nation collectively don't care about non-playoff.
No, it would become a playoff or bust sport.
It's a playoff or bust situation is what that created. And so for me, I would say the playoff, but if Oregon State or Boise State or Wazoo or Tulane or whoever, if they're routinely making it and their reward is losing by 40 points every year to the one seed because the group of six gets
so disrespected.
Well, that's
the point. You wouldn't play the one seed in their first playoff game because the top eight would have byes.
I'm not a big – I don't like the bye. I wish we just play it out. NCAA tournament bracket it.
Just go, yeah.
But even if you did that, you largely, I don't think, would win those games, more likely than not. Maybe you'd pull an upset once every 4 or 5 times.
Sure.
But if you're routinely losing by 20 to 30.
Yeah, does it wear thin eventually?
Like, who's the number 8 team? Give me a number. LSU. Let's use LSU. They're in the AP top 8. They shouldn't be. They should be higher. But, like, if you took on an LSU... Dude, I just watched that team play.
Yeah, I wouldn't feel great about
your chances. Boise State against LSU, I think, with where LSU is right now today, is not losing by one score. I think they're losing by double digits. And so if that's the best you can do, maybe you vote for the Group of Six championship.
Yeah. It's a very complicated argument, and I understand both sides of it, right? And I'm not going to tell fans of Group of Six teams how they should or should not feel. I also don't like arguing that we need a Group of Six playoff, because then that shuts off the access to what matters the most to fan bases. And I think you saw this on display last year. Not every G6 program is the same, right? Like using Oregon State as a comp's not good because they were in a power conference and have been relegated since then. But go back and watch the reaction of James Madison fans when they made the playoff. They knew what the result of that game was going to be.
Yes.
They knew how that was going to play out. And they celebrated like it was a Super Bowl. Remember the guy that took the train ride all the way from James Madison in Virginia all the way out to you? It was a marquee moment for their program.
Yep.
And they loved that their team fought in the second half. They even knew they were losing their coach and none of it mattered. It was still kind of a honeymoon phase for them. So that's the difficulty of it. The other part of it, though, the only part of the argument in the last segment that I slightly disagree with on your end, mm-hmm. is that I feel like we're in a spot now where we act like you can't break through and win, and we go to a bygone era where we feel like that used to be the case. And there's always going to be outlier teams and moments and players and that kind of stuff. This has always been a sport of have and have-nots. There's always been a reality of,
no
like,
doubt about that.
98% of the sport has no chance at winning a championship.
I agree.
You could make the playoff. Yeah. You could go on a run. Maybe you win a game here or there. And there's been, again, like Virginia Tech and Michael Vick getting there. Or, you know, Cam Newton beating my team out of nowhere. Or, you know, the random ones throughout
Washington
the years.
Washington State was playing basically for a national championship against Michigan in the Rose Bowl.
Yes, they had a shot. So there's always going to be certain examples where it's like, okay, you kind of did cut through there.
Yeah.
But the reality is the sport's always been have and have-nots. And I do think there's been a spreading out of the halves a little bit at the top of the sport. Like, we just went through Indiana winning a national championship. I do believe that they are an outlier, and I don't think that will become the trend in the sport. Mm-hmm. But when you go through watching Indiana win a championship, there's a bit of like, man, if you got money, you make the right guy or a coach. Not everybody has those two things or can do those two things.
Is something a lot of people don't have.
No doubt about it. But they went from being the worst program literally in the history of the sport to winning a national championship in 2 years. Mm-hmm. So there are pathways to become more relevant. And I don't think it cuts off access to the G. Like last year, if this model would have existed, you would have had, ironically, the same number of G6 teams in. There would have been Tulane. It would have been James Madison. And North Texas was ranked 25th. Like, they were right there on the outside looking in, potentially.
So this is where I think it's interesting, and I don't know if we're necessarily disagreeing here, but what's fascinating about the idea of this is James Madison and Tulane making it. The two teams in the 12 was like, whoa, what?
Thanks to the ACC being boneheaded and having Duke win their conference championship.
And we largely, I think, all thought the same results were going to happen. James Madison was going to lose by double digits and Tulane was going to get steamrolled, and both those things happened.
Two of the games were largely irrelevant.
I think it is easy to say a 24 team, this happens with maybe a third. I don't know if that's necessarily the case, because now I'm going to have the argument of two ACC teams, not one. Now I'm going to have the argument of Alabama's going to get in. Texas was going to get, like, you start filling in the blanks with those lost one too many game teams. And then instead of saying, oh, I can get Memphis against, you know, UCLA, I could get Texas. I could get Iowa. I start to wonder how many teams down the pecking order of the power conferences.
Right.
Will get the benefit there,
I guess,
over having three group of six. Two, maybe.
Yeah.
Three, I just don't know if that's the case with 24 teams because of how many teams.
That's totally,
Notre Dame would have been in the playoff in this scenario, right? Like,
all these teams that you're listing would have been in the 24-team field last year.
And you still would have had room, but my point is, like, they're just going to keep...
Could they cook the books in the final rankings to keep teams
wedging their way with
that's
more
a fair argument.
Of the power conferences in.
That's a fair argument, and I guess the only other counter I'll have... Look, all of this is broken, and it's dumb. It's a sport that's lost the plot many moons ago, but we're watching it in droves, and we've never been more excited for the product that's on the, not everybody, I shouldn't say everybody, a lot of people, right? Like, I gave the numbers from Florida State, New Mexico State. We haven't gotten a lot of numbers from this weekend yet. Mm-hmm. Like, 3.5 million people are watching Florida State, New Mexico State on the CW in week zero in August of college football. Like, there is an appetite for this.
But when do we lose the plot?
That's $1 million question.
And that's is there
when does the bubble burst?
Yeah.
And does it? And is there a counter argument to be made of, we might not like these games and be incredibly compelled by these games, but if I'm a fan of, let me just throw these teams at you.
Yep.
Utah, USC, ironically, still hasn't been to a playoff, Arizona, Virginia, Houston, Georgia Tech, Iowa. What does it do for them late in the season, knowing you got a shot at making it, and does that add to your excitement level at the end of this? Does it make you more invested in the sport, follow more closely, because there's now... not a pathway to a national championship. Virginia's not winning a national championship.
And I don't think that's the expectation.
Right,
Virginia.
It's not. What bowl game did Virginia play in last year?
Right.
What bowl game did Iowa play in last year? What bowl game did Michigan or Arizona or USC? Like, I mean, I remember USC losing, but I don't remember what bowl game they played
in. It was the Alamo.
Maybe it was. It's just the argument of that pathway, I think, is more appetizing to those fan bases than playing a bowl game that's now in an obsolete system that used to be rewarded at the end of the year. So all of this is broken. It's all being done for money. There's certain aspects of it that I like. And now the biggest question, to your point on the G6 inclusion, there will be unintended consequences of this that backfire on them.
The funny thing is, it's not the exact same example, but I remember there was an episode of Ted Lasso, and he's trying to wrap his brain around the Champions League,
the Champions League,
and the Premier League. And he's like,
wait a minute,
why do they all exist? And everybody's quiet. They just go, Money.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason.
That's right.
Any of it. I mean, that would be the only reason it exists.
That's the only reason we're doing this.
You know,
it's for more money. And the conference championship games have become obsolete. And they're looking for a way to splice, how do you spice that up?
A penalty. I would already argue they are obsolete. They're more a penalty than they are helpful.
Yes. There's no need to play them.
I just think you're only doing this to find a way to get more of your teams in your conferences that are mediocre to okay in. And we're way overreacting to the playoff, and it's only existed with 12 teams for two seasons. But yet, let's overreact.
How long until we're at
48? Double the
let's go to 64.
There may be a point in our lives, if the robots do not kill us in the next decade.
Oh, it'll happen. Don't worry. We're all going to die.
That Mike Leach, RIP, ends up calling
zombie
this
Mike,
whole thing.
Do we bring AI Mike Leach back to be the selector for the 64-team college football playoff? Would it happen?
If there was ever a robot AI to end my life, and he was Mike Leach, at least I'm laughing going out that way. But he might end up being right when he jokingly said we should do the NCAA tournament.
Oh, man.
You're reacting to, what is the record? Is it 1-7?
For bye week teams?
For bye week teams?
Yeah, I think it'd be 1-7. Indiana's the only one with a win.
is that going to happen again? I mean, it could.
Good.
It very well could be three of the four win this year. Then what's the takeaway? Well, actually, let's not. Maybe we need to pause.
Maybe the bye's okay.
You know,
keep
it's
it just, around.
It's a 2-year sample size to something, but we're going to double the amount of teams in. And I think somebody says, absolutely hate the idea. Nothing could make me care less about college football. And I think a lot of people carry that opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It just continues to chip away at losing what makes it so uniquely special.
Yeah, the fabric of the sport is gone. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and I would argue in many ways it already is.
Yes, but it's been killed off for many years now. Can the new iteration find a foothold with new fans or different fans or in the modern era, whatever the case, that is to be determined. Would a 2014 playoff make you care less about the college football world? Yes or no, go vote. After Spring on Twitter, poll question is up. Let's get to Super Bowl expectations for one NFL team. We'll make our picks at the top of the hour back after this. 105.1 FM, The Fan.
Getting a data center online takes precision. Graybar helps you stage, schedule, and deliver the critical products you need to keep projects on time. Yep, Graybar does that.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame, how will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
All righty, welcome back in. 8:49 NFL picks coming up top of the hour. Sprague's got the biggest water bottle I've ever seen.
First of all, it's not the biggest water bottle you've ever seen. It's 65 ounces.
How many ounces is too many?
If I drink more than two of those in a day, it's too many.
That's a lot of water, man. How often are you peeing?
Probably like seven times a day.
Seven peas a day, that's about your give or take?
I'm guessing.
I'd love to actually count peas. Do you ever count peas?
I don't.
Nobody counts peas.
I do the Tom Herman. How committed am I to my health journey?
We want your pee.
If it's yellow.
Do you have your chart behind your toilet in your master bathroom when you take a leak? How committed am I to Team Sprague?
No, but I wish I could fix my bathroom decor.
Ooh, you don't like your decor?
No,
it's not
I don't
a good
hate
aesthetic.
It. I've always wanted to hang the hairy Dumb and Dumber photo in the bathroom.
Yeah, well,
I'd like to make it funny.
You need like a man cave bathroom.
It's
for
the
that.
Most vulnerable thing we do in our lives.
Yes.
We don't talk about it because it's kind of disgusting.
It's pretty gross.
So I'd like the bathroom to be more comical.
Yeah.
We're all in here doing weird stuff.
I'm with you.
Feeling different ways.
Give me a little putting mat while I'm pooping.
They sell this. It's like a little toy figurine that you can hold while you're sitting down and make it putt. And I just, much like magazines, I find that disgusting to own.
Because it's in your bathroom?
One, it's in your bathroom.
Covered in poop particles constantly?
Well, yeah,
and then you're touching it?
Your hands are a part of the process in this situation. I don't want you touching and sharing toys in there. More hang photos or like funny little quotes. Just breathe. It's almost over.
Who does number two work for?
Yeah, like give me more of that. That's what I'm looking for.
Poll question is up.
Room.
Is your water bottle too big if you need to use two hands to drink it? Yes or no, you can go vote after.
You really think this is too big?
That's pretty, let YouTube decide. That's a pretty big water bottle.
It's 65 ounces.
That's a
How many ounces are in a gallon? I actually don't know that answer. Is it more than 65?
64 ounces is a half gallon.
There you go. It'd look comical if I was...
So 128.
If I was milk jug guy, you'd give me more flack than having an oversized water bottle, wouldn't you? Don't you have a judgment on somebody that's carrying around a milk
jug?
Yeah,
I definitely do.
Now, you can see
if
this.
If you're ranking judging, it goes from number one, milk jug guy, carton, water carton.
Yeah.
Number two is the female water bottle.
That's
ridiculously large with a handle and a straw and sticking out of it.
Like, and it fits in no cup holder in any car in America.
My wife
specialized ones.
Has the largest water bottles known to mankind.
Right.
And she drinks maybe half of one every day. And you're like, why do you need such a big water bottle? You don't drink. This
I more find the shape of them odd.
Yes,
it starts out, hey,
it's big to skinny,
lot of water, and then at the very bottom it skinnies out.
It's got no ass,
none,
ass whatsoever.
It's back to legs water bottle.
Yeah, it's flat butt.
A flat butt, man.
So I think I go that two, and then whatever the hell that is three.
Yeah, I can understand laughing.
And I'm
about
pretty
this.
Sure that. So I was thinking about it now that you've put it down. Yeah. I recognize that bottle. So that is from the Bendale Trail.
Correct.
That we used to do many moons ago.
Correctamundo.
I'm 99% sure those are for beer. Is that for beer?
It's a hydro flask. I use it for whatever.
Okay.
You can put beer in it.
If you want to put beer in
I
there.
I could put milkshakes in it.
You can put coffee in there if you want.
I could do cold brew. 64 ounces of cold brew, buddy. Jacked
Jeez,
out of my gourd.
That's a lot of cold brew.
I got to hydrate.
That's a big water bottle. Hey, I love it, dude. I couldn't handle that. My hands aren't big enough. Ravens going to win the Super Bowl this year?
We're talking about how to get there. You know, that's all it's been. You know, each and every year we never got there. It's about getting there. And it, like I said, it starts week one. It starts in practice, but it starts week one. We can't worry about February until we actually there.
Wait and see on our NFL picks.
Ooh, dirty tease.
Maybe not.
Is my reading on them correct that I feel like they always get, not always, but in recent years have gotten off to really bad starts? I know last year there was the blown lead in Buffalo, was it?
Well, they blew multiple.
There was
games.
A loss.
The Detroit game was another one back and forth, and Henry fumbled.
Remember,
in
was
that
it two
game.
Years ago that they somehow lost to the Raiders and like Gardner Minshew at home? And I remember that being a killer
in
the Survivor
the Chiefs
pools.
Game with Likely's toe,
the toe being out of bounds.
They almost won that game.
Like they kind of, I feel like they dig themselves holes early in the season. In some years, they're able to carry out, dig out of it. But
we'll get to NFL picks. This is an important part of picks this year, the coach effect. Harbaugh have anything to do with those games being blown? Because I think Raven fan absolutely tells themselves, yes, we need a new voice here. Not a guy that chokes away double-digit leads routinely.
That would be nice.
A lot of other people who aren't Baltimore fans point at the quarterback.
Yeah. 65-ounce water bottle, somebody says. That's a portable urinal. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the radio program. The NFL kicks off tonight, baby! We'll talk about that. Seattle and New England, a rematch of the Super Bowl. We will start, though, with the long-awaited official NFL picks for the upcoming season. We make them, kicking off the final hour next on The Fan.
Getting a data center online takes precision. Graybar helps you stage, schedule, and deliver the critical products you need to keep projects on time. Yep, Graybar does that.
Gear from MLBShop.com helps you show everyone what team you're with before you even say a word. So people start asking you things locals and fans know, like,
you with the crew?
You from the D?
Where'd you go to high school?
Your dad put you in brown and gold?
You see skins, girl?
You get your Dodger dog?
Siempre 305?
You see Big Dumper 60?
Do you see him put Vladdy in the jacket?
How about 47?
You see Judges 62?
Shohei's 50-50.
The gear says it all.
Cut from the city. Go to MLBShop.com.
MLB trademarks used with permission.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.